It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
And that's why I'm going to start doing it as a TV game show titled Smushed Bug or Poop. And then over time, as that gets popular, we'll release a board game to go with it. But there's just a lot of logistical issues with the home version. And I feel like it would do better on TV to start with.
Yeah, well, I mean, that sounds sensible. I mean, I've never heard of anyone... You know, when we were growing up, we watched game shows, and they always had a home game or whatever.
Yeah.
And I've never really heard of someone thinking, well, maybe to develop the game, I'll start with the show.
Yeah.
That's very clever.
I just feel like, you know...
That's very clever.
Smush Bug or Poop would do better to a broad audience.
Well, I wouldn't know, but... I mean, it sounds like a clever idea.
You know that Jamie Foxx has a new game show coming out, like now.
Oh, yeah? No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Would you like me first to tell you the title, or would you like me first to explain the premise? Doesn't matter. It's the same thing. Can you beat Shazam? Shazam, the app that...
That can name a song?
Yeah. Yes. I'm like... The development meeting, and I say meeting because there's no way there was more than one, for this idea could not have taken long.
Well, basically, it's name that tune versus
yes.
a machine.
But with product placement, yeah. And Jamie Foxx. I mean, those were the two components. I'm like, what if you, can't you beat Shazam? Okay. And Jamie Foxx hosts it. Okay. Or... Barring that, Jamie Foxx walked in one day and was like, hey, I want a game show. All right, what do you want to do? Haven't thought that far. All right. What about that Shazam app? Can we do something with that? By the way, this is my Jamie Foxx impression right here.
It's good.
And they're like, what? Like, well, okay, usually it can figure out a song before I can. But, like, what if it couldn't do that? Alright, Jamie, we'll get it together.
Did you watch Name That Tune when you were a kid?
I am a bit young for Name That
Tune. Oh, it was gone already?
Well, by the time I was watching anything, probably. I was born in 77.
Yeah.
And it was definitely a 70s one.
We watched it all the time.
I think once or twice I have seen syndicated episodes, but...
We watched it all the time.
There's where that cat toy went. We've been wondering where that went. You know, I used to... Well, I think I mentioned it, so I don't know more. Worried that you always see me in the same shirt. Like, I only own, like, one shirt.
No.
Because Purple Thursday. I wear the shirt every Thursday at work. So, but then I just realized you pretty much are wearing... Like, I'm pretty sure you wore that exact shirt and hat last week.
Yep.
So that's just our thing. We have uniforms.
Yeah, kind of.
Anyway, hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. The only podcast in the world that originally is based off of a French film from the 60s called L'Ennui de Chapeau. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 223. Tomorrow is 2 weeks to Wonder Woman.
Yes.
And I guess 3 weeks to The Mummy. I think The Mummy comes out the week after.
I don't care so much about The Mummy.
We'll see it, but I don't care nearly as much about it as I do Wonder Woman.
I have still not managed to see Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Oh. Last weekend was just too much I was doing around here, and like Saturday night we had pushed it back to Sunday, and I'm like, I'm gonna do this, you should do this. Why don't we just not do it? Because I'm like, I'm not gonna miss it in the theater. I've got time.
Yeah.
Although next weekend, I don't think we're gonna do it this weekend because we got roller derby on Saturday.
Oh.
So I don't know. We'll have to see. I definitely want to see it, though. I'm just never in a hurry with that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, Wonder Woman. Holy shit, yeah.
Yep, can't wait.
In fact, I think we have to go home to see my niece's play that weekend. Maybe we'll talk to the sister-in-law and see if they want to catch it before we leave town or something. We'll see. Anyway, I should explain the show.
Yeah.
For those of you listening just for the first time, we're really excited about the Wonder Woman show.
Yep.
By which I mean movie. You know, a longer show. here's how this show works.
141 minutes.
We really? Jesus.
Yep.
We have a hat, and it's magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. And folks, cool people like yourselves, write into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, comments, topics, questions, things like that. The hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifests physically within the hat itself. We, its ergonomic servants, pull those note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour. That's the whole show.
Except we talk for a long time beforehand.
Yeah, except it's not anything like that.
Yeah.
Also, more people need to write in, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. One question, how tough is it? Between now and the next episode, write them, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with one question, or one, you know, talk about this. Literally, somebody has written in and said, talk about soup. And we did that. So
yeah.
That's a low bar, people, is what I'm saying.
Yep. Not difficult.
Figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Or Google the phrase, interesting question, and, you know, go with that. I don't know. Anyway, how was your week?
Well, Mother's Day was pretty nice. We went and
I got to talk to my mother for like 10 minutes.
We went and spent the day with my wife's mom, and we went to there's
this your mother-in-law.
Yeah, that's I guess that's right. We went to Merle Hay Mall, where they have this theater that serves food. Not like a dinner theater, but like the theater is like a normal theater,
yeah,
except they'll come and you can get like a sandwich and a drink and stuff.
There are regional versions mostly of those things. There's the Alamo Draft House is the most famous one. Up in the Northwest, they have something called McMiniman's, and they do theaters up there.
But it was
I didn't know we had something like. Well, you said this was in Des Moines.
Merle Hay Mall, yeah.
Yeah. And I wish we had something like that.
It was
here.
Very cool. I mean, I was a little skeptical about it because it's like, well, people walking around during. And first of all, they don't do that very much. But when they do it, like, that happens in all theaters, like people getting up to go to the bathroom and stuff.
Yeah.
So it wasn't distracting at all. But the food they served was really good. The root beer they served was excellent because it's also a brew house or whatever. They have their own craft beers.
Oh, so then they can make a craft root beer.
Yeah. And so the root beer they made was excellent. And, I mean, we even weren't, they have sort of stadium seating, but we were on the floor, and it was actually pretty good. There. We watched Guardians of the Galaxy 2. That's what she wanted to watch. And I would totally do that again. I would totally do that again if anything like that
seems very cool.
came around
those
here.
Kind of cool.
Yeah, it was really neat. The movie itself, not quite as good as the first one, I didn't think, but, you know, entertaining.
I haven't heard anyone that has given it unqualified better than the first. I had somebody who's like, I'm not sure which was better, and I've had somebody who said they thought the second one was funnier. But
maybe.
Nobody has just come out and been like, I thought this was better than the first. But I've also not heard anybody who didn't like it.
I liked the female characters in it better.
Well, that's, again, low bar, though.
Yeah, because
the female characters sucked in the first
one. Yeah, they didn't really do much with them in the first one.
No.
And
what they did was pretty dumb.
Yeah, I agree. But in this one, first of all, they got to do more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But their story was interesting, probably the most interesting thing about it, in my opinion. So I liked that. I liked that the female actors were able to do more with their characters. The characters themselves were more interesting, and the arc was very interesting, I thought.
Mm.
And so I liked it for that reason. The rest of it, yeah, you know, could take or leave it. But it was, you know, it was fun, I guess, right? And that's what they're supposed to be. Those types of movies are supposed to be fun.
Yeah.
I think it's worth seeing in the theater.
Oh, I mean, I definitely.
But I mean, don't expect it's gonna. I thought the first one was quite a bit better, except for how they treated women in it.
But the first one had that novelty thing again because.
Yeah, that's true.
And that was the thing about Guardians of the Galaxy is it did feel so different than the other MCU movies at the time. And that was awesome. But now that we've seen that, this is just sort of more of the same.
Well, there's a little of that, but also, so after the first Guardians, you know, when you make a movie for the first time and it's successful, you end with sort of a deck of cards, right?
Yeah, of the things
that worked and the things that didn't work so well. And so the next time around, you decide, oh, that worked. I'll play this card an awful lot because it works so well.
Yeah, and historically, they suck at that.
Yeah, they totally overplayed all of their good cards. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Yeah, at least they played them.
Yeah, they did. And
far too often, they're like, oh, you guys liked this thing. No, that was the part we hated.
And again, the stuff that was disappointing about the female characters in the first movie completely reversed that, I thought, in the second one. And to me, it's worth it just for that, because I thought, given a chance, the female actors did a great job.
Yeah, and, well, I mean, there's some serious acting chops.
Yeah.
Karen Gillan and Zoe Saldana.
That's right. Very good stuff. So, yeah.
Is she being typecast for characters that have non-human skin color?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, you know, there are some people that are really concerned about that. It's like, okay, so you cast a person of color, and then you hide them under a bunch of makeup, or you change their color. That seems a little suspicious. But, I mean, you know.
I do find that argument tricky, because it's, what, you should have cast a white person instead, is what they're saying?
No, that doesn't seem right. They're not saying that. They're saying that actors of color are disproportionately, you know, like, you know, James Earl Jones voiced Darth Vader, but
actors of color are disproportionately cast in roles where their skin color is not visible.
A thing, yeah, right.
That is a good that I could see.
That's what they're arguing, and you know, I guess that's true. I don't know. I mean, there's just all kinds of problems in Hollywood about representation. We've talked about it before. But, you know, I've been working on a lot of projects this week, but nothing really that would interest our listeners, I don't think. So what about your week?
My week has not had much. I still am playing Shadow of Mordor. I know it should be done, but I'm just so badass. It's really hard. It's just the perfect difficulty level. Like, I have to try, but I can just own everything if I try. Like, it's perfect. And so I'm doing all the side quests. I'm doing all the, like, collectibles for shit I don't need anymore just because they're there, you know? So, but soon I should be done. And I'm having a really hard time figuring out what I'm going to play next. Except I think immediately I'm going to play Journey. But that'll take me, like, one night, so.
So I did tell you we're going through our second playthrough with Mass Effect, right?
No, you did not tell me you had completed one.
Yeah, we did complete one. And, to get all the trophies, I don't even know if she's going to be able to get all the trophies, but to get them all, you have to play like three times.
I would imagine, yeah, I think that was true with Mass Effect 2
also. And in her first playthrough, she played a character with no biotic powers at all. Mm. She didn't really even care for that stuff, so this time it's all biotics.
See, I'm always uncertain about that because in the original trilogy, they changed what things were awesome. Mm. So like, in Mass Effect, biotics kind of sucked. In Mass Effect 2, biotics were pretty cool. Engineering was pretty solid all around, but it changed a great deal in different, like, so I never know, like, oh, which one is going to be the cool one in this version.
Well, I think this game balances them pretty well. I mean, if you choose combat or technical stuff, you're going to get some pretty cool stuff. I mean,
the tech just in the game in general has always impressed me.
It's all about what you want. You know, it's mostly about character.
Yeah.
And, you know, that reminds me of something I want to talk about in regard to this. The BioWare games, they've kind of gone away from giving choices like huge in-game consequences because they didn't like how players were
apparently they've looked into it, and people are less into that than they thought. We've had this talk a few times, I remember.
Well, but I realized that at first I thought, well, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, choices have consequences. That's what's so interesting about them. But I realized that they're doing something a little bit different because my wife accidentally had one of her characters make a certain choice that she didn't want to make.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got to see what the fallout of each thing was.
Yeah.
And it was a lot less about consequences. Like, you're not going to lose a companion because you did this, okay, or it's not going to have some huge consequence. But it did change things in a very subtle way in terms of, like, conversation choices and things like that, which still made it significant and interesting.
Yeah.
So I've decided I kind of like what they've done because I think it is better to not make the consequences, because one problem with making the consequences so dire is
it's just a big stressor.
Yeah, but also sometimes it doesn't make any sense. It's like, yeah, that consequence doesn't make sense with that action. So now it actually makes more sense, the subtle responses.
The whole thing just feels more organic.
This is very similar to what
they were doing in Dragon Age.
Right, yeah, right.
And it just feels natural. And to the degree that I think it's not just that the consequences are lessened, but they're more sort of randomized in these kind of games. So, which I think is cool and makes it more interesting, that, like, you don't know if this will turn out. Like in real life, there might be big consequences or there might not
That's be. Right. So if you play the game a different way, you'll get a different game out of it still. Without it being so punishing or something where you feel like...
Or so just hugely, like, oh, we changed all the lighting to red now. Sometimes it's just like, yes, clearly, or remember, like, what was it, Champions of Norrath? We played it through on good and on bad, and it was just, hey, remember every single quest you had to do, now you're on the other side.
Yeah,
so you have to, but it resulted in the same things, like, oh, you have to go to these six things to repair them, and then as the bad guys, you have to go to these exact same six things and hit the same button, but this time we're calling it damaging them.
Right. Yeah. Doesn't make any sense.
Or just doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. That's what I meant. But so yeah, I think actually what they've done is actually made the games more clever and more, maybe even more realistic. But I didn't know because we were always playing the game the same way.
Yeah.
And if you decide,
whereas I did the, like, okay, am I supposed to be good or bad, or am I supposed to be this or this, and then I would just make all my decisions that way.
Yeah, I mean, it's
and that was statistically how you opened up most of the content.
Yeah. Well, now still, when you play Mass Effect, all the same stuff's going to happen, and you have to do all the same stuff, but it just has a different flavor to it that is interesting. And so I've decided I kind of like the direction they went, and I think they were smart to do that. Anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt.
I'm very much not sure what I'm going to play next, because too many things, including the game I just played, are kind of like Assassin's Creed. And I try and play games that are of different types.
Mm.
And so, like, this was like Assassin's Creed, so I'm not going to play the next Assassin's Creed.
Mm.
I'm not going to play the next Infamous game, because that's kind of like Assassin's Creed also. Like, so, we'll have to see.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Top ones right now are probably... Well, I'm not going to play Horizon Zero Dark as much as I like to, because that also looks very kind of like that. Less so, but still. It's probably either going to be Final Fantasy XV... or maybe Mass Effect. I've been holding off, but I'm like, you know what? We've covered, like, if the bugs aren't fixed by now, they're not fixed. And if the walkthroughs, in case I need to look something up, aren't in place by now, they're not going to be anytime soon. So I'm like, it may be late enough that I can do it. And I think it'll be very different. It won't be nothing like Assassin's Creed, so.
Well, I hope, see. I hope if you play it, you like it. We've liked it, but
I suspect I will.
It's very different, so I can understand why some people won't.
But otherwise, I haven't done my... I'm still playing that same game. I haven't watched any movies. I tried to watch movies. I failed. I already mentioned failing to see Guardians of the Galaxy. And then last night, we were going to watch The Nice Guys, because it's on HBO Go now. And during the storm and everything, our internet didn't go out, but it was screwed up. We watched a little short film right before it, and it kept stalling out. And Trisha's like, I'm not going to watch a 2-hour movie like
this. We had a big storm last night. Tornadoes and everything in Iowa. I don't know if any damage was done.
This brings up a point, though. Those of you who have HBO Go, there is a 16-minute film on there called Ramona. I recommend you check it out. It's pretty cute. I like it.
We started watching a series called Five Came Back about some famous film directors who went, you know, who enlisted in World War II and documented some stuff. That's streaming on Netflix. That's pretty good. And we also saw The Eagle Huntress. It's that
the
documentary
thing in Mongolian Steppes or whatever. Girl becoming the
Daisy Ridley helped produce.
Yeah.
And narrated. It was really good.
It looks really good.
It was very good.
Is it on Netflix?
You on disc. You have to get the disc.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it was outstanding.
I watched
it a lot.
Another episode of Very British Problems. I still recommend that show to anybody. It's very cute on Netflix. It's one of those, it's sort of a documentary, but it's one of those documentaries that's meant to entertain, not to inform, you know? The British are really good at those. And I got toys.
Oh, yeah? What are they?
They're fidget toys. This one is the biggest craze right now amongst the kids. It's called a fidget spinner.
Okay.
Those of you at home probably know what I mean. If you don't, Google fidget spinner, you'll find it. And this is a slight predecessor of it called a fidget cube.
I heard of those.
Yes. The premise is those people who need something to do with their hands while they're, like, talking or watching things or, you know, stuff like that, who tend to fidget.
Sure.
This gives you something to fidget with. The claim is also that it can be very helpful to people with ADHD, Asperger's, things like that. That, as near as I can tell so far, is absolute bullshit.
Okay.
But as you may note, at least as far as I know at this point, I do not have ADHD, nor am I on the autism spectrum. So that is not why I purchased these. But I'd been hearing about them, and I looked into it, and I was like, I do that. I'm always fidgeting with stuff in my hands. In fact, there are times where I'll fidget with stuff with my toes. If, like, there's a piece of paper on the floor or whatever, I'll do it. Like, all the time. And it's especially bad when I'm watching TV because needing something to do with my hands, I frequently will snack. Just to do something with my hands. I've tried long ago to, like, do knitting and stuff like that. Doesn't really work for me. So I thought, I will get these because they're pretty cheap. I'd say for... I bought them separately, but I'd say the combined price was probably $15 on Amazon Prime. You know, got them 2 days later. But I figured I'll give them a try, see what they are like. And I'm not going to tell you yet because there's about to be a knock on the door. Good radio. I swear I just saw him. Yep, here we go. Trash food there. Should have been paid for with the credit card online.
It was paid. My bad. Sorry.
Okay. You mean you haven't even seen what your tip is yet?
Okay,
thank you. Trish, did you hear?
I did.
Okay, good.
Why didn't you tip her?
I tipped it. It was order up. I put the tip in order up.
Him. Tip
he
him.
Came to the door thinking we owed him money.
We
explained that we did not. And I was like, wait, so you haven't even looked to see what your tip is?
The Punisher. It was the Punisher at the door.
His tip is pretty good, so I don't know which one is yours.
Brought us food?
Yep.
Yep. It's going to be hard to tell them apart. Mine's the one with the ranch.
Assuming that they put the right...
Well, I didn't get the cheeseburger one this time, so... Mine's very similar to yours.
Did you get two ranches?
Yes. Oh, but no, I think this is yours. Because what I didn't get was sausage.
Yeah, this has bacon on it.
Yeah. So this is yours, but it's my sauce.
Here, on this.
Oh,
bye,
I lied.
Bye, Hatters. I'm sure this is very thrilling.
This is even better radio.
Right? Here, have some ranch dressing, Hatters.
Thank you. On behalf of the Hatters, the only podcast in the world gives you free ranch dressing. Did we tell you about the time we went to the Pizza Hut lunch buffet and they were out of two things, which we didn't find out for sure until we asked. You familiar with the pizza buffet situation?
At Pizza Hut?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
There's a salad bar.
Sure.
And then the other half is pizza and like one pasta thing and breadsticks or whatever.
Sure.
They were out of two things. One was ranch dressing.
That's a big
which,
one.
Right? Yeah, you think that's a bummer. Bigger bummer. The second one was salad, like lettuce.
Like, no, none at all?
In the building, nothing. Like, they took the bowl out of the thing.
That's pretty weird.
Yeah, so basically you had no salad bar. And I was like, wow, I feel like they should have... Like, we were fine, but I was like, there are some people who are going to get pissed after they've already sat down and started eating.
Yeah, I think so.
And also, who's that idiot? But whatever. Anyway, back to my fidget toys. I have found they are, so far, quite effective. Sort of more than I expected.
Mm.
But I have also found the fidget spinner way more fun. I just like playing with it. The fidget cube, way less fun, way more effective.
Mm.
And I think those two are I don't think that's coincidence. Because this one, part of me is always thinking about it, and I frequently use two hands to play with it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little distracting as it helps me focus at the same time. This one, I can do this and just not even think. And it's way more effective. So, yeah, I've used a lot when I'm watching TV now and stuff. You want to see them with your hands?
No, it's okay.
They're pretty fun.
I don't want to get started. I might not be able to stop.
By the way, some of you may have recently seen things about you have to watch out for fidget spinners, because the things will pop out and kids will swallow them and stuff. I don't think, I mean, I haven't really tried because I don't want to break it, but these are in here pretty good.
Yeah.
I think the problem is everybody's making these because it's not a complicated design and they're a huge hit right now. And so I think, yeah, just don't buy a shitty one. Like, I actually looked, this is weird to say, but I actually looked at the reviews for fidget spinners on Amazon, at least in aggregate. And so, yeah, so that was cool.
Groovy.
I got those. I've been doing some writing.
Oh, good.
In fact, just recently, I finished a really dull section, and I've got left, it might be a couple chapters, but I basically have one major scene left, and then I'm back on to the section that I already wrote before, so that should go much faster.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised if I had my shit together within a few weeks.
Good. That's good.
I would not be surprised if I didn't either. But I think I might. So yeah, I'm kind of excited about that. We made characters for our new game that we're gonna play.
I didn't know you were doing a new game.
We sort of are. Originally we were gonna transition our existing D&D game into a different system, but it's basically turned into we're starting a whole new game.
Okay.
In the Dungeon World system.
Oh, okay.
Which is the same as the Apocalypse World, which you played.
I think so.
You played something with an Apocalypse engine.
Yeah, yeah, but I don't remember.
I think the time that you played Ghetto Iron Man.
Oh, maybe.
That was Worlds in Peril, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I've since played that.
I think so.
Yeah. No, that was that system. This is a fantasy-based, like a generic fantasy one.
Okay.
And I have made a wizard who... I have a concept that I'm not telling to my players... Or to the players, and specifically to the GM, because I feel like they'll sort of, like, judge and look at things too much through that if I do it, and it's more fun this way. But, yeah, she's basically insane via all the things she's done to, like, gain power and knowledge
sure,
and stuff.
Sure,
and so she's remarkably insightful into things and then completely clueless at other times.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm envisioning sort of a cross between, Dr. Orpheus from Venture Brothers and Cheryl Tunt from Archer. Which doesn't mean a lot to you, but to people who know those characters, you find that hilarious. And Dr. Orpheus is a clear ripoff of Doctor Strange, so that also helps. But for those of you who do know those references, I also realized that if you cross Dr. Orpheus with Cheryl Tunt from Archer, you pretty much get Dr. Krieger from Archer, so... It might basically be like that. And I was also thinking a little Jim from Taxi. I'm not sure. but yeah, it's going to be weird.
Wow, and I'm Jim have from fun. Taxi. Yep, wow.
Reverend Jim. That was my original place. But it's that's sort of more the randomness. I still want, like, she's a very good wizard. She's just, like, a very bad everything else.
Right.
So we'll have to see. I think it'll be fun. But I always think characters will be fun. I think that's all I got.
That's all you got?
Yeah, draw some things
draw
out of
Draw something from
which hopefully
the
will have some things in it.
Yeah, because...
Been questioned lately. Have I mentioned that you guys should write in?
Scary last time.
TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com. Have I mentioned that I found out Coffee cribbed her questions?
What does that mean?
It means she actually found a series of what are supposed to be like thought-provoking questions out there. Which I feel very good about. Because, you know, I mean, I've kind of made fun of Coffee for the questions, because they sort of, on the surface, seem kind of vapid. But then, and that's the thing, like, answering the questions has already been, always been really dumb, but what also has happened is the questions have sparked really interesting conversations.
That's true.
And so now that I realize that, like, they're built to be prompts like that, I'm like, okay, now it makes sense.
And
before, I was like, did she just get drunk? And she's like, what do you think about forgiveness? What have you done that you know you shouldn't pretend to think? I was like, where did all these come from? Now I know. So, all right. And is it from coffee?
This question's from coffee.
That is unsurprising. Love coffee.
What is your personal code of honor? Oh, I like this question.
Just because you're going to do way better at this one.
What is your personal code of honor? Well, I just think it's an interesting topic. Myself, maybe you don't think so, but I sure think so. What's your personal code of honor?
Well, we got to unpack this a little bit here.
Yeah, that's what's so fun about it. You got to unpack it.
I've been wondering lately.
And then repack it, and then jump out of the plane and hope that it pops out at the right time so you land safely on the ground.
Is that a metaphor? I
don't... Yeah, it was a metaphor.
Somebody... at work sent me an email today that I interpreted as this place I'm going to for vacation has really expensive hotels. Is there a way I could get the company to pay for it? As a joke. I mean, I did not assume he was serious. But that was how I interpreted what he wrote. And I wrote back and I was like, yeah, log into the travel system. They'll never notice. And then he wrote back and said, could you please elaborate? And I looked again, and I then realized...
It starts to get scary.
What
man.
He was saying was, I am going on approved business travel to a place with very expensive hotels. Traditionally, we pay for it and get reimbursed, but it is a large enough amount that I would love to not even temporarily take on that amount of debt. Can we find a way around this?
Like get an advance or something?
Yes. But that was a very, very different experience for me. But anyway, what I'm saying is I have been pondering lately whether or not I believe in or give a damn about the concept of honor. Because I feel like that term, especially in this sense, your code of honor, you know, sense of honor, loss of honor, you know, that kind of stuff, is a stand-in for, like, three or four other concepts. Like, integrity, like, respect, like, ethics, morality. I feel like when people say, you know, do you consider that an honorable act? There are things like, do you consider that an act that isn't repulsive to you? Do you consider that an act that you think is ethically appropriate? You know, do you think that's an act that, yeah, I'm having trouble with this. I'm not sure I understand or believe in the concept of honor in this sense.
I've had the same...
As a verb, I think I get it.
I've had the same thoughts about the concept of loyalty. I think loyalty often is standing in for something else.
I don't know. For that one, I mean, I also do not know that I consider there as much value in loyalty as other people do. But I'm pretty clear on what the definition of that one is. I mean, I'm pretty clear that means I'm going to back you up sort of regardless of my personal thoughts about whatever you're doing.
Oh, that's interesting. See, I think that's how it's popularly applied. When I see loyalty portrayed in popular culture, it's sometimes when people talk about it, like I said, it seems like just a stand-in for things like integrity and keeping your promises and things like that. It's like, that doesn't seem like what loyalty really is. But when I see it portrayed in popular media, it seems to mean, right or wrong, I'm going to stand with you, you know?
Well, not even just right or wrong, but positive or negative. Because the other version is, I could get a better deal siding with someone else.
Yeah, but I'm not going to.
So it's regardless of the consequences, I will stick with you.
I'm putting being with you at a higher priority than anything else.
Yeah. Well, then the level of my loyalty.
Yeah.
So the level my loyalty for you is good. I will stand with you if you are accused of a crime, and I will attempt to defend you. I will give you the benefit of the doubt in any suspicious behavior. I will back you on your business plays, even if I don't find them, you know, wise or whatever. I will advise you, but if you decide to do what I do, my loyalty is good. My loyalty is not perfect. Were my loyalty perfect, I would help you hide that body. Were my loyalty perfect, I would take the rap for a murder or something like that. That's the limit of my loyalty there. William, I'm not going to stand with you for
but,
that.
But a lot of time in popular culture, loyalty is portrayed as just what you're saying. Like, well, like, you killed somebody, and I don't agree with it, but I'm not... I'm going to help you hide the crime. I'm going to lie to the authorities.
Absolutely. But to me, it's all an issue of scale.
Sure.
Loyalty is a continuum. If we say in a movie, he's really loyal, that's because he helped me hide this body.
Yeah, right.
If we say at work, he's really loyal, we mean he didn't go for that other job with the other, our competition sure. that was going to pay him more.
But
which
I think,
is very different than helping me hide that body.
But what I'm saying is loyalty is often portrayed... I think you're supposed to respect it and like it, but it's portrayed as this bad thing, really, to me. It looks
like
a bad thing.
Well, and that's the thing. Loyalty is supposed to be super awesome, and I'm not buying that. And that's why people frequently now make the distinction with loyalty versus blind loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
well, what I was going to say was that honor has also gone through a similar thing. Honor, many times in popular culture, is like, well, you killed my family... So it's a matter of honor for me to revenge is the honorable thing to do kind of thing. Don't you think that sometimes honor is used that way?
Or let's do the great one that's still a major issue in the real world. Fucking honor killing.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Your wife cheated on you, so you have to kill him as a matter of honor.
Yeah.
And in my head, I'm like, I mean, obviously I disagree with that hugely, but I understand the argument. But now that I'm stopping and thinking about it, I'm like, what?
Yeah, exactly.
What?
I know.
The only thing I can compare it to is some sort of feudal loyalty thing again, where it's like, I had to prove to the world that there are consequences for cheating on me.
Yeah.
To which, again, I see my earlier response, what?
So people will respect me.
Yeah.
So...
Or like an organized crime deal. So to that, I don't feel like I have a code of honor...
Not in a mafia kind of way.
I have a code of ethics. I have a code of personal principles.
Sure. Well, but see, the thing is, what I'm getting at here is that both honor and loyalty to me are very tricky concepts because of how they are often used, not just in popular culture, but in questionable cultural situations the right thing to do for loyalty and or honor is to kill this woman who allowed herself to get raped, or whatever.
Yeah.
These terms are used in this context, and so you
see, and that's why I feel like honor is too cloudy. Because that's the thing. Loyalty, in terms of positive or negative, I do feel very muddled. But to me, I'm still very clear on loyalty. And actually, it's very akin to obedience. Loyalty.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Very, very close.
Which, again, might be a reason why I don't much care for the concept, because obedience kind of, I don't like that concept.
No, absolutely.
Okay, but when I was, the way I was raised to think of honor, though, what honor meant was, it's just what you're saying, it's really a stand-in for a lot of other things, like integrity, you know, you say what you mean what you say, and...
Self-respect.
And respecting yourself and respecting others the same way you want to be respected.
Yes.
And more broadly, what it means is, if everybody, basically, you behave the way towards other people you want them to behave toward you, or even generally you behave like, I think you told me your wife had an example of this, like when you're walking through the woods. And you want to go off the trail to look at something, you might not do that. It's not going to harm anything for you to do it. But what if everybody did it?
Mm-hmm.
So, the honorable thing is to not do it, and to be a good example to others to not do it, so that you don't have everybody traipsing through here. Or the honor system, right? What's the honor system?
Yeah.
It means that, well, you can pay whatever you want, and so if you're honorable, you'll maybe pay a little bit more to cover someone who can't pay. Or you'll at least pay what you can pay and not just get it for free just because you can.
Yeah.
So honor in that sense means a sense of a social responsibility.
Yes, yes.
And I like that definition of it. And I think there are even things in popular culture that use that definition, but it's so often used differently that it gets sort of muddied. I do think loyalty also, that's true, but you're probably right. Loyalty is probably more specific and nailed down.
In its definition, yeah. in its value, it's all over the place. And I'm not going to go so far as to say people don't misuse the term in films. I'm just like, that one, I feel like, definitively speaking, that one is black and white. Like, clearly, we're talking about loyalty, or we're not talking honor. I'm still like, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Because you just made me realize, honesty is yet another one that sort of is considered synonymous in some ways. And I'm like, well, and maybe that's it. Maybe it's just circumstances. Like, honor, maybe it means all of those, and it's circumstantial which one specifically but then I would say it is not a particularly useful term if that's the case.
Exactly.
Use the other term.
Yeah, right.
Yep.
But I would say if I had an honor code, it would be the golden rule to me. I know a lot of people make fun of it. They think it's simple-minded or whatever, but I find the golden rule to be particularly paradoxical. I think it creates, when you really consider it and don't treat it as a simple-minded thing, but you think about what it really means and what you would really want people want people to act toward you, it really makes you think hard about what it means, and it creates a code of ethics that is sort of organic, it's not just, you don't just apply this to every situation, but
shit's pretty easy when you go by that one, in terms of figuring out what to do. Very seldom is that one like, how would I apply the golden rule here?
Well,
it's pretty, now people can twist it
lot. Right.
Well, if I was in their situation, I'd want someone to tell me that dress looked hideous,
or that I'm going to hell.
Yeah,
or something, really? And a number of other things.
But also it's not pretend you're them.
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
You're still you. A different person thinks you're going to hell, or thinks that dress. What do you want that person? Like, they're standing around the corner right now.
Yeah, right.
What do you want them to do?
Right, right. So, and for me, it creates a...
If I was an ugly pig, I'd want people to tell me. Like, no, that's not what's going on. Is, would you like people to come and tell you right now you're an ugly pig, regardless of what's going on?
It also, for me, creates an ethical system that is adaptable. I wouldn't call it entirely relative. I mean, it is determined a little bit by the situation and the context, but it's not necessarily an anything goes kind of thing. You know, there are definite lines that are never going to be crossed.
Yeah, but and this is the thing, I think, where you and I differ a bit is, and I'm recently coming to terms with that, I am absolutely a moral relativist, but people think that means anything goes. In fact, the Assassin's Creed series tried to explain the difference here. No, it means that context determines a lot of it.
That's right, that's what it means.
In certain situations, things are, an action could be considered bad that in a different context, different society, different whatever, no one involved would find that bad.
That's right. That's exactly right. And I think that's, I mean, I think that's a mature, adult way to look at ethics.
It does get tricky when you factor in concepts of harm, which can be more objectively determined sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah.
Not always. There's a lot of contextual issues with harm as well. And issues of consent.
Yeah, right. That's right.
That one is a little bit... But even then, I feel like that's when it can get tricky. But I absolutely am not like, there's one right thing to do, and no matter what society or culture I was living in, that's... No.
No, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, even if you think about that for a little while, you should be able to come up with all kinds of exceptions to just about any rule.
Yeah.
And
But I live it on a microcosmic level all the time, which manifests as my interactions with people are very different from person to person.
Yeah.
In terms of what people would perceive as my level of interactivity, my level of teasing, my level of emotional contact, both socially and physically.
Sure.
All very tremendously from individual to individual. Right.
Now, and I would say that's true for me, too.
But I don't know, though, because for you, you still have sort of a... Like, I'm to the degree that, like, different people will say... If they were going to describe me, they would describe me as a very different person. And it's not, like, because they know me better or whatever.
I see what you're saying. Just,
whereas you, I think, have more of a... There are certain things you do because you're William. It's not because you're interacting with said person.
That's consistent across
them. Yes.
Yeah, that's probably true. That's probably true.
And I mean, I'm sure I have some too. It's all, you know,
yeah.
A lovely rainbow of images and a beautiful tapestry.
But
I think in general, I tend to be more socially, what's the adjective form of chameleon? Chameleonic or whatever?
Oh, I don't know.
Not even on purpose, particularly. Yeah, yeah. In fact, sometimes to my detriment, but...
But I think, I hope anyway, or at least what I try to do in all of my interactions, at least, you know, treat people the way I would want to be treated.
Well, and you absolutely consider people as unique individuals.
That's exactly right. Like, that's exactly right.
See, even now, I'm doing it. I wasn't even thinking about it, and I'm doing it. It's effective.
With your fidgety toy?
I really like it. With the cube. The spinner's fun, but it's not as effective.
I don't know if just a thoughtful and nuanced interpretation of the Golden Rule really qualifies as a code of honor, though, does it?
I don't...
I mean, there's not...
I think it's the closest I've got.
Yeah, that's the closest
I've got. And it's, I mean, because... Well, okay. I had one that was more brief. Don't be a dick. I really like that one.
Yeah, Will Wheaton likes to say that one.
Like, yeah. Like, it's just... It's handy...
It's essentially equivalent to do no harm, though, right?
Well, and it's a I know it when I see it thing, which means it's not effective 100%. In most situations, I know what would be the dick thing to do, and I don't do that.
Yeah.
But it's not. It needs more nuance, and I think. But I think the Golden Rule does that. As soon as you start being, how would I want to be treated?
Yeah.
Like you don't have to. Oh God, I feel like people have used this argument to proselytize to me before, but I'm like, it's not that complicated at that point.
Well, it's like I've used this example before. You're walking behind someone, they drop their wallet or something. You pick it up and say, "Hey, you dropped your wallet."
Yeah.
And they say thank you or whatever. That's just what you would want someone to do for you.
Yes.
It's not, you don't deserve a medal for it or anything. Yeah. It's just the right thing to do, and that's the only reason to do it.
Because. Well, and I don't know how much use of... This is my life philosophy. I am not perfect at it, as I'm sure you are not either.
No, I'm not perfect at anything.
There are a lot of things that complicate it. One of the big ones being perception. So, sometimes you're not aware of how you're treating someone.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're not enough of the aware of the situation to have a good picture of how you'd actually want to be treated.
Yeah, that's right.
These are two big problems that can come up a lot, and it's why it's only an ideal. But one that my hunch is you suffer from less is I still have temptation. So if somebody drops their wallet and I can clearly see it's full of cash money... Maybe not now, because I'm pretty doing okay, but like there have been times in my life, I don't think ever would I have not said, hey, you dropped your wallet and given it to him. I don't think so. But part of me would want to not. Part of me would be tempted. And there are all sorts of versions of this. So basically, there are times when I am a dick. And sometimes, the majority of the times when I am, as I'm sure we are, is because I don't realize I'm being a dick.
Yeah, that's.
But there are also times when I'm being a dick because it just works out better for me in the short term.
Sure.
Or because I'm too lazy to not, or things like that.
Right, right.
And, you know, that's why it doesn't always work out. But if you do your best, if you try to not be a dick all the time, that's what you're shooting for.
Yeah, that's what you're shooting for.
And you try... And learn and be perceptive enough and be open enough to understanding all the situations in which, you know, dickitude is possible or possible to not. That's the best you can do. Straight up the best you can do right there. Like, I don't know how you could add to it beyond
no,
that.
And
there's going to be scales of how much effort you're putting forth to learn.
Sure.
And that's subjective. But otherwise, it seems pretty straightforward, and I don't know what you could add.
Well, but also, if you if you can't do it right, you can make it right. I mean, a person who can only get it right 30% of the time can make it right the other 70%, and that's going to be just as good.
Well, yeah, it's just always, nothing's ever behind. I mean, things do end, but, like, the fallout of whatever you did or whatever you said are new situations in which you apply it again.
That's right, that's right.
Like, that's you're never done.
That's right, that's right.
I mean, yes, at a certain point you're done, but...
But
Roger Ailes will never have a chance to be a dick again.
But I do have to say, like...
But he got in a lot in those 77 years.
Yeah, he did. When I read, like, I've been reading tales of, you know, King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, some of that chivalry stuff, I kind of like it. You know, I kind of like the way they did things. You know, being polite and doing the right thing, even if it wasn't really in their best interest. I mean, sometimes it's a little off, obviously, especially as it reflects
a lot of it's very contemporary.
The values of the 12th century or whatever. But there's a lot of it that's like, oh, that's really cool. You know, I really admire what this person did, or I admire this person. So I do have to say that when there are stories, or like superhero stories, that's one of the reasons I like those, I guess, because I do like stories where the hero has a code of ethics or a code of honor, mm-hmm. that they have the courage and the character to stick to it, you know. And sometimes for me, even when they stick to it in a situation where I feel like I would be challenged to stick to that code, I admire that they can stick to it. And, you know, so that's aspirational, yeah, yeah, yeah. I guess. And I like that stuff.
I like the details of it because I like the nuance in there, which is why I can get into a lot. Well, I can get into a lot of things. I can really get into sympathy for villains, depending on the situation. But it needs to be a code that makes sense, is consistent, and doesn't seem shitty.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there's a lot of people, the code is, I'm going to get whatever I can get for myself, fuck everything.
Right, right.
That's not interesting. But there's a lot of villains, like, they have a code, but I'm like, okay, so what are the specifics? And actually, a fun one, although sometimes it's not as fun because I feel like they do just contradict themselves, but Doctor Who's a very interesting one because he is very... He has a very specific code that is very complicated for him, to the degree that sometimes you're like, oh, what's he going to do here? Like, you know, he wants everybody to live, he wants people to be happy, that he loves humans, whatever, but he's also capable of being really mad. and it's sometimes it's interesting to see... I feel like his code is fairly consistent, but it's still complex enough that sometimes I'm like, I don't know what he's going to do.
Yeah, right.
Speaking of which, are you watching the current ones?
They
just started a new season. Have you not been watching post-reboot?
No, I have been watching them, but I have to watch them like after they're long. I mean, they've been aired.
The new companion is awesome.
Oh, I didn't even know they started up again.
Yeah, with a new companion who is black and lesbian.
Really?
Yes.
That's interesting.
And awesome.
Oh, that's good.
Trisha's like, she might already be my favorite companion ever.
Okay.
And I'm like, I could see that. And here's the thing for me, and I don't know, I'm trying to talk with people about this. I feel like you here. I really want to make sure my meaning is correct, because this sounds... This is one of those things that is just a hair's breadth away from being terrible, but I don't think it actually is terrible.
Okay.
Well, let me start with this. I think the actress playing the new companion, her name is Bill, by the way.
Okay.
Is quite attractive.
All right.
Not like in a, oh yeah, she really does it for. I think she's an attractive woman. Okay. If you put, I was like, yeah, that's an attractive woman. She's an attractive woman. I think, in my mind at least, she has certain specific traits that are not generally attributed to TV attractive.
Oh, okay.
And I think she has that more than any previous companions, at least post-reboot.
Really?
And I like that.
Yeah.
She's certainly not ugly or unattractive. And she's still in the realm of a TV person, like, we should all hope to look like, you know, like...
Right, sure.
But, like, her nose is kind of big, and her hair is very natural fro-y, mm-hmm. and pretty decent. So, like, there's just a few things about her features that I'm like, that's not the traditional...
The typical TV
yeah.
thing, yeah.
And I love that. Like, yeah, she looks yeah. more real for that.
Sure, sure, sure.
And she's just awesome so far. Like, really, in fact... One of my friends has a theory about how this season is going to end. Because at the end of the season, Stephen Moffat's finally leaving. Thank God. Peter Capaldi's leaving.
Which is too bad, because I really...
Yeah.
He's probably my favorite Doctor, actually, really honestly.
And the actress playing Missy, I don't know if you're caught up enough to know who that is, also going to be leaving. So my friend has a theory of how the season's going to end and deal with that stuff that I think is very unlikely, but would be absolutely awesome if it happened. It's a kind of theory you would come up with if you knew enough backstory with okay. Doctor Who, because it actually ties into some shit going way back.
Okay.
Some old lore that they could pull out that would make things work.
Oh, okay.
But this show has also proven that it's perfectly happy doing hand-wavy bullshit that they pulled out of nowhere to resolve things.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm like, yeah, no, it's going to be something like that.
Yeah, why put all that work in?
Exactly, exactly. But it would be awesome if it did it, and it would make very interesting things. But, yeah. That's about it. I think we got... We're honor bound to...
I thought that was a good question.
No, I didn't talk about Kitten Academy. That is something I discovered.
What's that?
Kitten Academy is the name of a business. The business appears to be just a house with two people in it who foster kittens. But they have a YouTube channel, and specifically they have a live stream on YouTube.
Okay.
YouTube's kind of been pushing these live stream things lately, so toss this one out and I put it up. And what it is the room where they keep the cats and all the toys and everything and all the little kittens and everything. They have three cameras that they kind of adjust throughout the day, but that run 24/7, and you just watch these kittens, and it's awesome. And I was doing it on my computer, and then I realized I could put it on the giant TV via the PlayStation. So I did that, and now, especially in the mornings, while I'm doing stuff on my computer, I don't watch TV, so I just put it up on the TV in the background, basically. It's awesome. Just little kitties doing stuff. It just rocks. And this morning, they had the camera on the top of like a kitty condo thing like that, because two of the little kittens were sleeping up there.
Mm-hmm.
And then a third one shows up and was like, hey, what's going on? Let's screw around. I'm awake now. And they're like, stop it. And one of them finally left because he was so annoyed, but the other two were wrestling around. And then a fourth one showed up and was like, hey, what's going on? And so they're all wrestling. Enough that the one who left came back because it was like a party now. And then they're all hanging out. And there's also a different room that one of the cameras is in that has a mama cat with like her baby kittens.
Mm.
And that's fun. And actually this morning, they're all zonked out in this bed they made for them, and the mama cat comes over and wakes them up. And then she goes to lay down so they can all nurse. And then when she was done with it, she just got up and left. And most of them followed. But there were two who were just, like, super confused where their food went. They just sat in the same spot. Like, what? What's going on?
Man, so. When I lived on the farm, I could just watch young cats just all day.
This is, do it.
Yeah.
Kitten Academy.
Live stream. I might actually like
totally
that.
Totally free. And I can't make it work on the PlayStation, but on the PCs, supposedly... It's live, but you can back it up to 4 hours. So if like they're not doing anything, you can back it up to where you can.
But it's interesting when you're talking, kind of adding a little narrative to what happened.
Oh yeah,
but that's what it's like when you watch cats. It's like you feel like you're watching a story.
Well, that's the thing. Every once in a while, like my friends give me flack because we talk about the cats like they're our children. And they call us mommy and daddy and stuff like that. Anthropomorphize the shit out of them, and that. Can potentially be bad. There's a show on Animal Planet called Too Cute that's supposed to be the raising of these animals, but it's edited to all hell to make these stories, and there have actually been some times where they've done stuff that's not necessary. Like, not harm the kitty, but, like, kept the kitty in the closet when the kitty didn't want to be in the closet to be convinced that, like, the kitty couldn't figure out how to get out or something like that, to make the narrative.
Yeah.
And every once in a while that seems fake, and every once in a while I'm petting one of my cats, and I stop and think, like, this is a wild animal that we have here. Like, any assumption I have about what their thought process is almost certainly completely wrong.
Yeah, right.
But as long as I'm taking care of them and they seem pleased, which they do, it's fun. So we just make up all of these stories about what the fuck they're doing. And it's awesome. Like the one, I guess that was this week too. That thing's got catnip in it, so he's going to lose his mind. I didn't go to the gym this week. And one morning I didn't go to the gym this week because my cats played the little angel and devil on my shoulder thing.
Mm-hmm.
I get up at 5:30 in the morning. I pee first because that's what you do when you wake up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doing that and I'm like, I should go to the gym. Oh, but I don't want to go, but I should go to the gym. And Twiglet comes in and he hops up on the edge of the tub and he puts his paws on my knee like he likes to, and he leans in and he rubs my nose with his nose. Not like the little boop, he'll like rub on it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you can do it, Dad. Come on. You should do it. Sort of thing. And I was like, you're right, Twiglet. I'll do it. I'm going to go. And I get up and I come out to here where I've laid out my gym clothes over there, and Addy is sprawled across. I'm like, are you sure? Your bed's pretty comfy. So then I went back to bed because the devil won, and the devil is Addy.
The devil is Addy.
Mm-hmm. And the devil is clearly high on catnip. Oh. All right.
Don't use that.
If you should go to the blog and tell us what you think your kitties are thinking that is obviously not true, and whether you call them your fuzzy children. Also, write themagicaltalkinghead@gmail.com, because I keep telling you to do it. Do it. And then listen again next week to find out which salad dressing we'll give away that time.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.